Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night, you're listening to Gray Eyes Smith, and this is Bad Company.
This show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com, so feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. They're filled with poetry from around the world, poets around the world. So, check those out. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you. And tonight's show is based on some carryovers from a previous show that I did, and Liu as well, Liu Wildub. So I'm going to grab the first poem here and post this into the group. Hello, passions. Woohoo, she says. Okay, I'm going to check the phone lines real quick. Okay, we're good. All right, this is by D. Edward Bennett, and it's called Sparks. These are places in the heart where the brave dare not go. There are faces in the dark that only shadows know. There are dreams for those who plan a lifetime of gain, and those screams never can hide the strife and pain. And it only takes a moment for the world to turn one day, while a heart breaks with one movement as someone turns away. Refrain. So with time, don't waste it. It can pass by without a pause. You can blink and then you'll miss it, and you'll have lost another cause. Keep your head and never lose it. So don't panic. Keep your cool. Stay in bed if you choose it. There really isn't one golden rule. There are days out in the sun where the gentle breezes blow. There are ways to get things done with all those plans that help us grow. There are many reasons why we don't aim beyond the stars, for all the seasons fly as we try to hide the scars. For each of us in turn must decide our own sweet fate, but for even paper burns as the sparks touch us before they fade. Wow, that was a beautiful poem, filled with wisdom and introspection. You know, it's a beautiful pen. There are places in the heart where the brave dare not go. There are faces in the dark that only shadows know. And, you know, the rhyme throughout this is just spot on. And it really has an excellent flow to it as well. Excellent job, Edward Bennett. And beautiful, right? Excellent, right? Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. I'll check the studio real quick here. Oh, we have some callers. Okay, great. Hello, area code 254. Who's that, please?
Passions. I'm early.
Hi, Passions. Wow, great to have you. And I'm going to bring up one more caller here. Area code 667. Who's calling, please?
This is Martha.
Oh, hi, Martha. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
That's great. Did you get to hear the read, Passions?
I did. What a wonderful read there, Gray. I agree
with you.
This is a full of wisdom piece. I like the refrain. So with time, don't waste it. It can pass by without a pause. You can blink and then you'll miss it, and then you've lost another cause. I mean, it's so spot on. It's accurate, you know. We don't take advantage of what we got. It's going to be gone. So, you know, this was a wonderful read. It was a wonderful write. I enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you. And Martha, did you get a chance to hear the
read? No, I didn't hear. I didn't hear any of it. I just barely got here.
Okay. I appreciate you both calling in. I've added the next link if you wouldn't mind reading that for me, Passions.
Okay, hold on. Let me refresh. Okay. A Lifetime to Undo by Dances with Words. A lifetime to undo who I became, since I, not of your blood, was warped by your love. Why, how could anyone instill such shame upon a child's so innocent spirit? Thereby am a whole where the heart, mind, body, soul ought know unity. You chose me as your adopted child. Who knew instead a puppet was what you wanted? Well, I cut the strings one by one, dangled decades, finally became as God intended, and via such transcendent, transformative experience, through all the horrific hell of identity, deconstruction, eventual reconstruction, not only have I become tot biam a sea, thou art that, but my heart mind have expanded to no longer fear or hate you, nor myself. Now, wishing both of us, each who we truly are as essences, only the best ongoing. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read. And, you know, the poem really hits home as far as being an adopted child and trying to find your place in the world. You know, it's got to be a heck of a journey, a lifetime to undo, you know, this personality deconstruction and eventual reconstruction. You know, just heart-wrenching poem filled with triumph and sadness. I thought it was just an excellent pen. What did you think, Martha?
I really liked it. It was like a person cleansing their soul of all the bitterness and animosity towards someone in their life and finally letting go to live their own life apart from them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. And what did you think, Passions?
I agree. It was a heart-wrenching piece. I mean, I could only imagine, you know, how to balance being the adopted child and feeling like a puppet on the strings. And they portrayed this, I mean, I feel like it's not portrayed, excuse me, but I feel that this is coming full of self, like a self-portrait, you know, that there's something that they have gone through or are going through. And at the end, you know, it's great to see that they had finally let some of that bitterness go and to live on with their life, to push forward regardless of what their past may brought them. This was a beautiful, beautiful piece. I believe Dances with Words did an exceptional job at this write.
Well said. Thank you. I appreciate the read and the comment. I'm going to post the next link, if you don't mind, please, Martha.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Into the Stratosphere by Del Rey. As I let go, an untethered rainbow, I drag the frayed lines of my hot air balloon through the boreal forest of the north. They sweep across the nose of a growing black bear and slap the rump of a running white-tailed deer. Like fingertips, they trace the cresting waves of a crystalline lake across a simmering bay to a misty waterfall. I reach out of the wicker basket to touch the wings of migrating geese headed south. I mimic their honking noise, then drift like a dandelion parachute to the tallest Sitka spruce trees. I tie my airship onto a branch and set on a soft green bough. I whisper to the gray owls who hoot hoos in deep pitches, hoo hoo, hoo hoo. The wind sweeps through the canopy as the red sunset bleeds into the blanket of stars. Unhinged, I drop the leaden weights that hold me down and float into the stratosphere, leaving all weather and worry behind. Above the clouds I sail. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Martha. And, you know, this is a beautiful poem full of descriptive nature-filled scenes. I really love his connection to the world around him and the nature in it. You know, he captures this wind that sweeps through the canopy as the red sunset bleeds into a blanket of stars. You know, how pretty is that? Just a beautiful, excellent poem. What did you think, Passions?
I agree. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful in imagery. It took you along on that little, in that little wicker basket with them. You know, it's a very very peaceful piece, naturalistic piece. It was wonderful. I want to dream this dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the comment. Thank you. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I loved the flow of it and the beautiful message. I especially liked where he talked about the bear and the deer and the owls and included them in his fantasy. I thought it was really well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here, and I will post this up once I finish the comment. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. All right, and this is by Duke of St. Paul Dex Bailey, and it's called Alone. Alone in the distance between vibrations, sitting there next to you, nails on the chalkboard of my longing, digesting a horror film on mute. Still only a dark, cold space between lies of you telling the truth, occupying my ability to ever hear the tightening of the noose. Hope they bury you below the vastness of your pain so that no one scratches the surface of ever unearthing your grave. If I tried to go up, you only dove down, repeating our sound wave. Deafening silence tells all, or tells the story of passion long gone astray. Well, that was a hard-hitting poem. You know, it really speaks to the volumes. Yeah.
Wow.
Every word was powerful and well-placed and, just a hard-hitting poem. What did you think, Passions?
You know, the one where it hit me was, it all hit me because I was like, dang, I don't want to be on this side of him. Still only a dark and cold space between lies of you telling the truth, occupying my ability to ever hear the tightening of the noose. I hope they bury you deep below the vastness of your pain so that no one scratches the surface of ever unearthing your grave. You know, I could see this person actually digging this grave for this person. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this is a hard-hitting piece, well done in few words. I'm amazed with it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Passions. And Martha, what did you think?
I think it was a very poignant write of someone that's trapped in a relationship that is destroying them and what the pain that they'll have to go through before they finally realize they have to get out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Passions, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Black Angel by Dragon Sorceress. Black Angel, holding court, sits on her throne, throne fashioned from black marble stone. Floor belt below her is littered with bone, procure of souls she'll bemoan. Skull from latest victims shall not atone. Murmurs through hell this Black Angel they dread. Eviscerations, how they bled. Her sense of justice has been fed. The queen of underworld instead orders her minions to clean up the dead. Beauty with dreams, angel does mesmerize. Bathing in blood, she will baptize. Uses beauty as a disguise. Of her conquest, she'll rhapsodize. Cleaving heads from body is no surprise. Displaying the souls became her trademark. Dungeon-like cavern, now quite stark. Rarely does angel miss her mark. Black marble stone is her hallmark. Mother of this realm of her matriarch. Performs her own justice, cannot be swayed. Her realm of hell do not invade. True seductress, angel portrayed. She is known as a renegade. Surrounding her throne, all but skulls displayed. End poem. Good.
Beautiful read. That's a dark, haunting poem. The imagery in here is just brutal and fantastic. Displaying skulls became her trademark. Dungeon-like cavern, now quite stark. Rarely does angel miss her mark. Black marble stone is her hallmark. Mother of this realm of hell, matriarch. It's just a powerful, powerful poem. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was great. It really tells the story and gets your attention, and the imagery and the metaphors were just great. It was a wonderful write.
Great comment. Thank you. And Passions, what did you think?
No, the imagery kept me intact with this one. This one, I was like, oh, my God, each line, I was like, oh, bloody hell, this can't get no worse than this one. And here we go. It was a beautiful write by Dragon Sorceress. It was brilliantly written.
Absolutely. Great comment. And I'm going to grab the next poem here, and we'll have Martha read that. Okay, so here we go. Okay, paste this to the group now. There it is.
Okay. Okay, a second. A Yellowy Forest by Kara Anisha. The living essence of winter, saying goodbye, is here. When cold winter cools off with a warm spring clear. Yellow sun rays filled the blue sky. Yellow leaves filled my green eye. Light breeze hitting my skin. Light sounds of the chirping bird's whim. Trees standing tall in polished symmetry. They could defy all the laws of geometry. The aroma of pine woods filled my nostrils. That would last even after it turned fossils. Artwork of the whole universe in front as it was unhideous. Well, night sky is pretty, but this beauty is prettiest. A city is, of course, busy and bustling, but more work is done by the bees hustling. A long stroll here seems never-ending. Just like I desire this change to be never ending. End poem.
Wonderful read, Martha. And this poem paints a pretty picture of, yellow sun rays filling the blue sky, yellow leaves filled my green eye, light breeze hitting my skin, light sounds of chirping birds, wind. You know, you can picture all this as she writes it, and I thought that was just a wonderful thing that, you know, you can follow along so easily, and it's just straightforward and forthright about with its poem. So I thought it was just beautifully done. And Passions, what did you think?
Well, the imagery of the nature is definitely a great factor in this piece. I mean, as you stated, we can very much see everything unfold each line here, and it brought up to me the wonders of nature changing, and she captured it beautifully. I like it where she stated, the city, of course, is busy and bustling, but more work is done by the bees hustling. A long stroll here seems never ending, just like I desire this change to be never ending. And it's beautiful, I mean, because that's the way we like to see it, you know, the nature at its prettiest. So, This was a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Martha, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderful. It took you on a took you along for a beautiful walk, and that with the imagery and the descriptions, your mind could almost see everything as she was describing it. She did a wonderful job. It's an excellent write.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. Both for the read and the comment. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here, and I'll give that a read. And this is by Blue Right 67. Or Blue Right 7, sorry. Beautiful bluebells. The bluebells in the woodland glade are dancing in the breeze. They shine in dappled sunlight that is filtered through the trees. Princess Diana's favorite scent is drifting on the air as I stroll in nature's garden without a trace of care. Songbirds sing their melodies from every bush and tree, whilst bluebirds teem with insects and many types of bee. Small rodents scuttle all around, all adding to the dance, and the squirrels in the canopy jump from branch to branch. The morning dew on foliage shines like eagle's eyes, and with every turn I take, there's another spring surprise. The dance of the flowers is like the restless rolling sea. A sea of bluebells calms my soul and leaves me feeling free. End poem. Wow, that was just the prettiest picture that you could ever paint with words. This field of bluebells and the scent that it carries on the breeze is just captivating and takes you right there to stand with them as they explore this scene that they painted. Beautiful, right? Excellent read. Passions. And what did you think, Martha?
I thought it's wonderful. I love the pictures and the imagery. It's just gorgeous walking. You could almost feel yourself walking along with them. It was really excellently done.
Great comment. Thank you. And sorry, I accused you of reading that, but Passions, would you like to comment?
I was sitting there correcting. I was like, what is wrong with Gray today? Okay, beautiful. It's a beautiful piece. Unfortunately, I don't know what a blue belt is, so I am going to research that. But this one also takes you on a beautiful little nature hike. And it even included the small rodents, which I kind of cringed at first, but then we got to the squirrels and I was all giddy again. So this is a well-written piece. Well, of course, I love flowers. So flowers is like the restless rolling sea. And I can only imagine what these bluebells are. It calms my soul and leaves me feeling free. A beautiful piece.
Well said. Thank you, Passions. I appreciate the comment. Okay, if you wouldn't mind reading the next one, please, Passions.
Okay. Past Winter by Lulu G. The morn's no longer misty, the night's no longer cold. Now daffodils are dancing in gowns of saffron gold. For winter's left my garden beyond the southern sun. I know this, for the dormouse slow whispered, spring's begun. Here golden comes the sunlight, we're near a woeful care, to shine for snowdrops blooming, diaphanous and fair. Nor cares a fig for flurries of snow in winter skies, when linden leaves are falling past summer's sad demise. The barefoot child's now playing, while ladies on the green sit gaily reminiscing, here, there, and in between. Iris and tulips blooming, where borrowed shadows sigh, past winter clouds gray, brooding in this my half of sky. Lulu, oh, in the poem, sorry. I was going on.
That's okay. Wonderful read. And, you know, I really like the dormouse slowly says that springtime is here. Spring's begun. But, you know, snowdrops blooming diaphanous and fair. No cares for No cares a fig for flurries of snow and winter skies when maiden leaves are falling past from her sad demise. And just a beautiful poem filled with an excellent imagery. And, you know, you can feel this love that she has for her half of this guy. I thought it was just beautiful. What did you think, Martha?
Oh, I think it's gorgeous. I love the way she describes the flowers and the just the whole beautiful springtime. It's just a wonderful ride.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Passions, what did you think?
I think it was a beautiful piece. The morn's no longer misty, the night's no longer cold. And the barefoot child now playing while ladies on the green sit gaily reminiscing here, there, and in between. I can actually picture ladies sitting on the deck drinking some lemonade.
She's talking about flowers.
Exactly. And checking everything out, you know, and it's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful little journey that Lulu sent us, took us on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Passions. Okay, Martha, I have the next write-up, if you don't mind, please.
Okay, just a second. Ukraine Stands Alone by Jack Tompovic. Ukraine stands David versus Goliath, the scout, the sentinel, Putin, the magician, running second to Zelensky, the comedian, Russian tanks running out of diesel, Russians pressed men weeping at their capture, pouring out their little guts to mama. I'm tired, I'm cold, and people are shooting at me. Children are caught with fingers in cookie jars. USA magma standing with a dictator. That's so, 1939 Berlin. End poem.
Well read, thank you. And, you know, this is a hard-hitting poem about the situation politically right now. I'm tired, I'm cold, and people are shooting at me. Children caught with fingers in cookie jars. U.S. MAGA standing with dictator. That's so 1939 Berlin. Yeah, just a haunting poem on the subject of war and the goings-on thereof. What did you think, Passions?
I have to agree with you. I don't pay attention much to the politic issues because it's just too much of it is depressing to me. But this was pretty potent, and it was a good read, Martha, and a good write.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. And Martha, what did you think?
I really liked it. I am one of these people that watches politics a lot and stays up on what's going on. And a lot of this stuff is really very goodly describing what is going on over there right now. The Russians are giving up and running away. They've lost two of their generals, and they're just bit off more than they can chew, just like it says. Children with fingers in cookie jars caught. It's an excellent picture of what's going on.
Well, thank you, Martha. Okay, Passions, I've got your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. A letter of love to misery. Note stained in old torn book, hidden on shelf and nook. Curiosity high, opened with a sigh. Nothing would prepare me for the worst that I'd see. Dearest, April 23, 1975. The days and nights are a blur, entwining around one another. I lost Private Reynolds last night, my best bud here. They contacted his mother and let us know that the night duty had been cleared. It's sad, my love. The Vietnamese children are decoys. It breaks my heart knowing that it comes to this, a child or our life. I wish I was home. I am afraid of being over here. I know the baby was moving around barely when we last spoke. How are they doing now? Most importantly, how is Mama doing? I can't wait to get home and rub your belly and speak to our son or daughter. I sure do miss you, babe. Sirens are going off. I have to go. Hopefully, I will see you at the end of the week. Hugs and kisses. Love me. Tears fell from my heartstrings. What torment this war brings. I read the note and looked more. Another page folded. Oh, man, what is in store? The last piece I'm holding. Miss Audrey, April 24, 1975. We are sorry to inform you that Sergeant Audrey had been killed in action on April 23, 1975, while handing water and candy to a Vietnamese child when the bomb went off. We will be in contact as soon as possible with assistance and proper burial. Sergeant Audrey was a great leader, and again, we offer our condolences, U.S. Army government. That was it. I'm weeping. Notes left to make it hard sleeping. I wonder where she is, if she is missing me. Her poor heart, her baby. Oh, how it's haunting me. I found in book, figured I'd take a look, called and it was a neighbor. Asked about Audrey's living, that I had a book worth giving. They explained both had died. After info hung up the phone, she couldn't stand being alone. She took her life and all, couldn't handle love's fall. Piece of me died tonight, a candle's burning bright. Prayers for all involved, no longer can or write. Ink and blood is all I see, from love, from life to love to misery.
Oh, what a powerful ride.
Yeah, that really, you know, tugs at the old heartstrings for sure.
Wow.
You know, this introduction to finding these letters, and then as you go through the letters, the heartbreaking scenario that's painted therein is just tragic and so sad. And then when you go on to explain they both had died after info hung up the phone, she couldn't stand alone. She took her life and all, couldn't handle love's fall. Then, you know, a piece of you died that night as a candle burning bright. Prayers for all involved. No longer can I write. Ink and blood is all I see. Life to love, to misery. So sad and tragic. Just is this all your imagination, though?
No, sir. My father fought in Vietnam. I mean, we didn't go through anything like that, but stories have been told. And so a friend of mine, her husband fought in a war a few years back, and he got killed overseas, and she did take her life. So, but I focused on Vietnam because that was a time that was most brutal. I mean, it's all brutal, but to me, my father pretty much went through hell when he was over there, and then when they got back, they went through hell. So I always try to work around that area.
Well, you do a fantastic job of it. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderful, really, really greatly written. I love the way you expressed everything, and you just brought it all to life, and as you read it, you could almost believe it was all true right to the end. It was sad, but it was really poignant and beautiful. A great ride.
Thank you.
Yeah, just an excellent read and write. You know, you really hit home with those letters, and it's really brought a sense of reality to somebody's situation that we wouldn't personally go through, but just a beautiful poem.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you bet.
Thank you all.
I'm gonna grab your poem, Martha.
No
face on that, and you have a SoundCloud, so I will get that.
My Baby Done Left Me by Martha Gell. My baby done left me, he's up and gone, and I'm still here, barely hanging on. My baby done left me, he's out the door, he said that he'd don't love me no more. I never thought he would, but he said goodbye, and all I have left are tears to cry. My baby done left me, he said he had to be free, and that he needed more than he got from me. I said, here my tears are falling as his name. I'm constantly calling, and my heart is broken in two as he's off to find somebody new. But I still miss him. He still has my heart. I can hardly stand to be apart. But baby done left me, and I still can't see how alone without him I could possibly be. I said, here my tears are falling as his name. I'm constantly calling, and my heart is broken in two as he's off to find somebody new. I thought that he would always be mine, but now he's moved on down the line. My baby done left me, and there's nothing I can do but let him go, find him somebody new.
Oh, that's so sad. Beautiful singing job, though. But what a tragic song, you know, the heartbreak and the loss.
I've been trying my hand at the blues.
Yeah, well, you did wonderful with that. The blues definitely sing through this song that you've written here, a hard-hitting, sad poem of loss and desperation. But your SoundCloud was beautiful. Excellent
Thank
job.
You.
You bet. Passions, what are your thoughts?
Well, Martha, my foot was a-tapping over here, and I wish I had me a drink in the hand. I felt you to the bone with this one. Listened to a lot of your singing, and I'm telling you, this one's off the charts, Martha. Beautifully written, beautifully read. There's not one thing I would change on this piece. This is a remarkable piece, Martha.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment. Awesome. And would you like to say anything about your song, Martha?
Well, I just decided that I wanted to try something different, and I thought, well, why not try the blues? It's a challenge, so that's what I did.
Yeah, absolutely, you did. Great job. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Namdag Samtsomo. And I'll post this to the group. Okay, this is called Hunter versus Prey by Namdag Samtsomo. Madness. Symbols, peace, some sensuality, gold, as the victims cry out. Ritualize well, hypnotize faculties. Two chupacabras, bridge people with bronze, chin bones, having touched way more, poached even more, as the flippant impunities of accusations of the indifferent, extirpating, interverbal over sensual dance, quivering usefulness, lay as waste beneath crumbs, embracing swans from shape-shifting hungry ghosts, unhesitating for good, or even the simplest, rootedness for old. Bringing anything else inside could thicken these ungainlinesses, subatomic forms of condemned claw legs pull beneath the earth. Two mob-casted little serpents want to torment any perfection upon its rising with trances of torrents that segmented casualness only to drain one of their life's sacred blood. Many possessed servanthoods need these flowers as a people shiver to tremble. You once promised me infinity, sword, tormented, and so I pray. But for now, I must say goodbye. End poem. You know, it was definitely evocative and raw. You know, it speaks of this tortured life that we live and all the things that go on with it. So I thought it was just a haunting poem. What did you think, Passions?
I don't know. It scared me. I don't know if I'm going to bed anytime soon tonight. hypnotized faculties, two shoot for cobras, rich people with bronze skin bones. I mean, this was full of images that I don't care to have in my head. Like I said, it was a kind of a creepy little piece, but it was well written and well read. It was great.
A great comment. Thank you, Passions. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderful. I love the imagery and the way he pictured things and made you think. He really tripped your brain all the way through it and made you see a lot of things and think a lot of things, like she said, that you really didn't want in your head. But it's a great writing. He did an excellent job on it.
Thank you, Martha. I appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Weaver of Dreams, and she has a SoundCloud. There's that. And SoundCloud. Here we go.
You walk past my desk every day. Your scent, pure pheromones. The live movement of muscles under your shirt might thrill, could awaken libidos, loosen morals, break hearts with ease. I'm aware that you don't see me, but believe me, very soon you will. I know tonight you'll be mingling with the bad and the beautiful on a rooftop terrace downtown. Look alert, pay attention, take care. I've remade myself from frumpy to sultry in order to make you pay. There are years of hatred for you stored up in me, so beware. It worked. The combination of sideways glances, then ignoring you, it piqued your interest. I'm in your flat, glass in hand, music low. No, I can't do it. Your evilness will live another day, unaware of how very close you were to dying merely moments ago. I would have gone then, left you breathing, with no blood on my hands, but you grabbed my wrist, twisted it viciously. That's where you made your error. I took the gun from my pocket, aimed, and allowed it to spit short, sharp revenge for my friend and the others you've killed while you enjoyed their terror.
Wow. Good grief.
That was
really bad in 1,000 years.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do to me, Greg?
I know, right? You're not getting any sleep tonight, that's for sure. But no, this is haunting. You know, it speaks of this revenge that she's been holding on to for so long, brought on by her attraction to this person that doesn't seem to see her until she doesn't see her and then brings him to the point where he grabs her wrist viciously, and that's where he made his error. She took the gun from her pocket, aimed it, and allowed it to spit shot revenge. For my friend and the others you have killed while you enjoyed their terror. It's just a haunting poem. You wonder what that's about at the end there. Just an excellent rate. What did you think, Passions?
I think you know what I think. Well, but no, but really, it was an intense poem that kept me on the edge of my seat throughout. And then at the end, you know, the six shot sharp revenge, I was like, oh my gosh, he did it. And then I was like wondering too, you know, for my friend and the others you have killed while you enjoyed their terror. So, you know, was he kind of just one of those rough, you know, rough type lovers that got too far and carried away, or was he a serial killer? I mean, she leaves you on your seat, on the edge of your seat, wondering what happened. So, I mean, I like a piece that leaves you wondering what, you know, you can take it into a million directions with it. And it was full of good imagery, and it was a beautiful write.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree. Thank you, Passions. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought this one, where the other one was all imagery, and you had to follow it and guess what the person was saying. This one is right out in your face. There's no mistaking exactly what she's saying. That, you know, I got the impression that he was a serial killer, that he killed her friend and many others she knew, and she went to get revenge, and she couldn't do it because most of us don't have it in us to kill another human being. But then when he grabbed her hand, that was enough for her to go ahead and finish what she came there to do in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Martha. Great comment. Okay, Pat, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Swan Song by Incubus Two. Balustrade ballerina on tentative tippy toes cries tears within the fluidity of her movements. Black swan seeking death through truly, pushing herself to the edge, wings torn by thrown roses thorns, and thunder claps from galleries, as ovation and cries of encore, encore, cast her once more as understudy, whom was never truly understood, down into the pit where music snatches, raise her upon wind and oiled strings, before she, within a pile of sheets, takes her final bow.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That was a wonderful read, and just a dark write on, you know, the life of the artist and how close they are to death. And, you know, the wings torn by thrown roses, thorns, and thunder claps from galleries, you know, all the while she's dying inside. Just a powerful poem. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was great. You could see to me it was an artist who, like she said, she was always the understudy, and where the woman that was playing the part did such a good job, and she was getting a standing ovation, and everybody loved her. She just couldn't take it anymore being the understudy, and so she took her final bow and was the star of the show in the end when she jumped off the balcony.
Right, absolutely.
Yes, Martha.
Thank you, Martha. And Passions, what are you
welcome.
Between you and Gray, man, I'll be up for days. Black swan seeking death through truly, pushing herself to the edge, wings torn by thrown roses, thorns, and thunderclaps from galleries. I mean, Incubus takes you on one hell of a journey with this piece. And, you know, I'm not used to these dark pieces by him. So when he does put them out there, he puts them out there. And I totally could feel the passion in this piece where she feels, you know, not, to me, she feels not worthy of or not credited enough for what she does, and she takes that final out, and it's a, to me, a deeply haunting piece, and I did an exceptional job on it.
Great comment. Thank you, Parsons. Okay, here we go. Okay. And when you see this, would you mind reading it, Martha, please?
Yeah,
by
no,
Daniel
okay.
Deschino.
Yeah, that's okay. Under the Sun by Daniel Deschino. What tomorrow may bring lives under the sun, and so do I. And when the darkness brings to light 1 trillion suns, they bring their own tomorrows that come. And I wait in the ominous peace of night while all are equal in sleep, as tomorrow will bring what is the light. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I enjoyed the poem. I'm not too sure what it was written for. Oh, it's written for a contest called Expectations of Tomorrow. And, yeah, I thought he did a great take on that whole subject matter. What tomorrow may bring lives under the sun, and so do I. And when the darkness brings to light 1 trillion suns, they bring their own tomorrows that come, and I wait in the ominous peace of night. Yeah, you know, this is a epic little brevity. What did you think, Passion?
Yeah, I agree, and beautiful brevity. I mean, just like, you know, we are here doing our reading and enjoying the peace of the night. Others are sleeping, and soon the light will come, and there'll be a new day and new journeys for everybody. And with that being said, I think that Daniel did a terrific job with the brevity, and it was an awesome job. What a great read.
Well said. Thank you, Passions. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really great. I got the feeling it was someone that was enjoying the night, contemplating the day, but in no hurry for it to come, just willing to wait because who knows what's coming tomorrow. Thought it was really good.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to post this next poem here. This is by Sawa, a.k.a. I Love Poems. And it's titled My Precious Dove. Oh, and she's got a SoundCloud. I don't know if I got that into a studio or not. Oh, I did. Okay. Here we go.
I love poems. My precious dove, ma précieuse colombe, mia preciosa colomba, leaning on the sitting tree, I heard you singing all night. Sweet song freed my heart. Awake, love. Oh, how I miss your tender, soulful eyes, my precious dove. Penché sur une branche d'un arbre géant, je t'ai entendu chanter toute la nuit. Ta chanson a libéré mon cœur, a réveillé l'amour. Oh, comme tes tendres yeux peinés me manquent, ma précieuse colombe. Appoggiato a un ramo, un albero gigante, ti ho sentito cantare tutta la notte. La tua dolce canzone ha liberato il mio cuore, ha risvegliato l'amore. Oh, come tuoi teneri occhi addolorati, mi sono mancato, mia preziosa colomba. End of poem.
beautiful read and a touching poem. You know, it's so delicate and tender in its imagery and its emotion. And it's just a fantastic little brevity. I really liked her multi-language read as well. Just a beautiful job as always, Paula. Excellent reflective piece. What did you think, Passion?
I think this was awesome. Awesome, awesome. Tender, gentle, loving, peaceful. I can actually see the night when she was reading. I was just closed my eyes. This was a beautiful, beautiful read. And I do too. I love the different language she speaks in. It makes it even more authentic. I loved it, Greg. It was a great job.
Great comment. Thank you, Passions. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Well, that was beautiful. A light of the sorrow that you feel when someone that you love is gone and you know they won't be back, and all you can do is remember them. And she expressed it so beautifully. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Martha. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. I'm going to put Frank's up. He has a SoundCloud as well. Okay, here we go. All right, I'm going to play his SoundCloud now.
I saw the morning swans moving slowly through the water with effortless grace, and the nimble children playing in the pretty park, memories of the days of a period of innocence. A glimpse of happiness I once had shared ere riding the carousel of the magical dreams. During the sweet sounds of a soothing springtime, when I had danced upon the clouds so lightly, I knew of an angel that had witnessed my birth, whose pulchritudinous pinions or empyrean, and his spirit was made from the divine breath, solely that from which guardian angels are born. He taught me to fly and soar in my imagination, to discover the world of the dreamers of hope, and aspire the kingdom of the noble men of valor, where the cadent heroes of immortality ever dwell. I swear that he was an angel like no other being, for his halo was resplendent and preternatural in form, and he had glided upon the winsome Wilkin high above. His words were the dulcet tone of the lyrical notes. The years have passed, and I still can see him with the beauty of age and winds of Father Time, when the countless days and nights become the revelation of the moments of keepsakes I treasure. Laughing, crying, smiling, and singing old songs, and I know always that he is this angel of mine, the ethereal spirit of a glow from the moonlight moon, flying away to the unique place of memorable dreams. I reach the heavens of the numinous broom in discover the garden of the immortal ones, with the sempiternal gaiety of their colourful guises, a token of the harbingers of love and devotement. I shall reach the heavens. Oh, I shall reach the heavens.
That was an epic read and a delightful poem. You know, it's just filled with all this.
Poem.
Filled with all this incredible imagery. You know, a glimpse of happiness I once had shared here, riding the carousel of the magic of dreams during the sweet sounds of a soothing springtime when I had danced upon the clouds so lately. Just a really beautiful, beautiful poem filled with incredible imagery and emotions as well. What did you think, Passions?
I agree with you. Frank, there's a lot of different dabbles and a lot of different genres, and this one being a little different for me, but it was a sweet take on an angel, a guardian angel, and I believe that in my own thought that we all have that guardian angel over us, you know, in my own belief, but I enjoyed the laughing, crying, smiling, and singing old songs, and I know always that he is this angel of mine, the ethereal spirit of a glow from the moonlight moon, flying away to the unique place in the memorable dreams, and that's beautiful in itself, and I think he did an exceptional job and a fantastic read.
Absolutely, great comment.
Robin.
Great comment. Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really great. I love the imagery and the story. First, I thought it was an imaginary friend, and then I kind of got the idea, like she did, like Passion did, that it was a guardian angel he was talking about. But it was really well written and beautifully expressed.
Thank you, Martha. Great comment. Okay, Passions, I'm going to post the next poem if you would mind reading it, please.
Okay. Trailer Park Kid by Diane D. Whitewashed fences and lemonade, Sunday school in a church basement. What a wonderful world on the record player. Hopscotch, Jiggy Tail, and Raggedy Ann and Andy. Telltale, hot baked apple pie scent, whifting around the kitchen, crawling underneath freshly washed cotton sheets to call it a day. Yes, if you're the little girl in the movie, mobile homes, moonshine, and stray cats and dogs, mama's dress from old sewn bed sheets hanging on the clothesline, pretend easy bake oven and plastic look-alike Ken doll, chomping down leftover hot dogs and moldy bread, cowboys and Indians and real bow and arrows, sewer stink, rotten garbage, and sweat-soaked armpits, telltale daddy hands underneath urine-stained sheets at 3 a.m. Yes, if you're the little girl from the trailer park. End poem.
Well, that was epically sad. You know, there's so many hard truths in this that this is a multifaceted world that we live in. Some have it good and some not so good. Some actually have horrors, as is Telltale Daddy Hands Underneath Urine-Stained Sheets at 3 a.m. You know, just paints a dark, dark picture of a sad scene. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was really good. It took you on quite a ride from the seemingly perfect life you thought she was living to the horror that she was really suffering. It was quite a powerful rite. Very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. And Passions, what did you think of the poem that you read?
It hit home. It's a kind of a, you know, everybody, okay, let's just say for me, then I wish that I had that, you know, the wonderful world and the record player, hopscotch PGOs and everything like that with the hot baked apple pie stamp looking around the kitchen. You know, I was raised in mobile homes and stray cats and dogs and all that, and up to the end. I mean, been through hell and back and called many a different names because of that fact. I find this a totally brutal piece that can hit many, or has more than likely hit many. The sad, tear-jerking kind of a piece, and I think they did a great job portraying the differences and the distinction between the two. They did a great job, Diane.
Well said, thank you. And I'm sorry to hear that you suffered that kind of existence. What are your thoughts, Martha?
I really liked it. It was a powerful piece that took you from the what you thought was the perfect life she had to what the reality was. And it was a very powerful poem that really brought quite a picture to your mind.
Yeah, I would say so. Thank you, Martha. Great comment. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And we have two that somebody's supposed to call in, Pam and Bobby. And Naomi has an audio that I haven't had loaded yet. So I'm kind of eeny, meeny, miny, moe on what to do here. I guess I'll go ahead and post to Captain B2's. And give that a read. And this is called Visualize, and it's a brevity by Captain B2. I stand and stare at what is now there. Then I look harder and see just how it could be. Right then I know how to make it so. End poem. Well, that was an impactful little brevity. You know, it's inspirational and well expressed, and I really liked it a lot. You know, seeing into the future, past what it is, and it's a very powerful brevity. Well done. What did you think, Passions?
It was a lot said in few words. I stand staring, but it's now there. Now the car and see just how it could be. It's just how we can make our life, you know, to me. We see it there and see, or we know what things could be and how we need to make it right. And you know, I think she said it all in such a good way that it was remarkable.
Well said, thank you. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Well, to me, it was I just pictured someone staring at a problem, something that's broken or needs to be fixed, and looking at how it is, and then looking and thinking and finally figuring out how to make it like it should be. So that was really good.
Thank you, Martha. That was a great comment. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. I'm going to have to post Pam's poem. I don't think she'll be calling. Would you mind reading for Pam, Passions?
Nope, sure will. Apple picking before a storm, Pam Ray. Papa says the storms are coming. Mama, she just keeps on humming. Takes the laundry off the line. Says you too, it's picking time. fresh apples hanging on the tree, a special treat for Grace and me. The wind is stirring up the dust. The old tractor has popped the dust rust. But like everything on this land, it works hard when life's not grand. I hold on tight to my hat while sister hugs our pup named Cat. I would like to run and play, ignore the storm that's on its way. But there's a heaviness in the air. Our papa's got a solemn stare. And from the doorway, mama yells, them apples, they don't pick themselves. And home.
I really liked it. It's a mm-hmm. fantastic poem. Written on the prompt of the picture that she has on it. And I really liked the pup named Cat. That was pretty funny, as well as, and from the doorway, mama yells, them apples ain't going to pick themselves. You know, this is a day of the life in the farm. And I thought she mm-hmm. captured it beautifully. Excellent storytelling. What did you think, Passions?
I loved it. I love the rhyme scheme and the imagery, the little images of I could picture the storm coming and the kids supposed to be picking them apples and the old tractor. I mean, like I said, you know, I lived in the trailer on acres of land, so they used tractors and we would go pick eggs and everything. I mean, I could just, she just had me seeing all sorts of things when she threw her story here. And as always, I love Pam's work, so this is another one to chalk up. It was amazing.
Great comment. Thank you, Passions. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a wonderful picture of rural life and living on a farm and the things that you do differently out there than we do in the city. And I thought it was wonderful. I especially love the ending. Mama says them apples don't pick themselves. That was a great ending.
Yeah. You can picture all that as she said it. Beautiful comment. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And we are running out of poetry, people. We might have to dig up a few of ourselves. A few of our own links to put up, because this is the last poem, and it's got a SoundCloud, but unfortunately I didn't get it in time for the show. So I'm sorry, Naomi, but we're going to have Martha read your poem as opposed to playing your SoundCloud, so my apologies for that.
Of Wine and Men by Naomi Sarah. I taste, my men, as a savored wine, so much truth lies hidden within each flavor left, lingering upon my palate. See, he's a fine Pinot Gris, refreshing and crisp, a delicate citrus mix with white floral notes, light, easy drinking, just perfect to enjoy on a hot summer's noon. Now him, a Muscadet, more bruised and oxidized, an aptly character, but relatively bitter, yet still so green, could do with some more time to mature. Oh, a Arborino from Spain, had he produced such a wonderful, full aromatic experience, has bouquet rich and fruity, so I knew I could expect a refreshing, tasty adventure. And my Sauvignon Blanc, aggressively citrus-driven, grapefruit path, exotic fruits, honeydew, kiwi, grassy mint with savory green pepper hints, just left my lips salivating in anticipation of another sip. But most of all, I'll toast to my full-bodied Cabernet Sauvignon, bold tannins, long persistent finish, black cherry, black currant spices, intense smokiness of cedar and oak, silky smoothness, leaves the mouth watering, begging for more arousal, just the one to swirl and savor in front of a blazing fireplace on a cold evening and keep you all warm and cozy, through these long wintry nights in poem.
Beautiful read. And I really liked it. You know, it was a delightful parallel of men and wine and the differences therein. But, you know, I really like that last stanza. But most of all, I'll toast my full-blooded Cabernet Sauvignon, bold tannins, long persistent finish, black cherry, black currant, spices, intense smokiness of cedar and oak, silky smoothness leaves the mouth watering, begging for more arousal. The one swirl to swirl and savor in front of a blazing fireplace on cold evenings and keep you warm, keep you all warm and cozy through those long wintry nights. Yeah, an epic poem. What did you think, Passions?
I felt it was a beautiful, right? And I do agree with the parallel between the men and the wine. I didn't know how to take this at first. I was thinking she was going through her wine list, and then I was going, and I was thinking it was kind of sensual in a way. It was beautifully written with a lot of sweet imagery that left you wanting more, and I agree with the last stanza. That was my favorite. And she did a great job on this. It was beautiful, right? And a beautiful read.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought she said a lot about men without really mentioning it very much. It was excellent, right? And really good. I don't know much about wine, because I've had very little, but I thought it was an excellent write. I love the way she expresses her stuff in her write.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to have to ask you ladies if you wouldn't mind dating for some poetry to add to the program tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and post.
Just put it on the site?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay.
So I'm going to post one for now, and while you ladies are looking. This is called Out There by Grey Eyes Smith. A casualty of man, your birthplace harbored the view of an azure sky bearing a mountain created by a fireball sunrise. So unceremoniously you were felled and tossed aside, yet in the trunk of your corpse lingered spirits that did reside. They spoke of a bald eagle perched overlooking of the valley wide, cradling meadows housing streams, where transient salmon were born, and after a lifetime returned and died. Generations of beaver built hutches, housing hope and rebirth of hardworking, eager offspring, yet your limbless beauty could not speak of your stolen dreams. So the duty of sharing your vision fell upon me, it seems. I took the task of lifting you out of your overgrown, unwanted mask of 3-foot grass, and began the art of sculpting these visions with you shared with me. I spent that summer afternoon shaping your remains into the totem of wisdom that you shared. You stood tall, a creation embraced by all that would come to see your strength, even after your tragic fall. The Creator, in his wisdom, sent the world to our doorstep in the remote valley of Pemberton, Canada. He placed you center stage with the guitarist that would come to have a cult following by the name of Jay Massacs from the band Dinosaur Jr. He played his axe with beaver in front of a raging fire as I danced upon your shoulders. You, to me, were the only star in a music video called Out There. They filmed that day nearly 30 years ago. You can still be seen today worldwide. I consider you, my child, a chainsaw carving, rebirthed in the Canadian wild. Stand tall out there, my son. and form. What did you think, Passion?
I think this was a beautiful read with a lot of great imagery, a lot of great detail out there. They filmed that day nearly 30 years ago. You still see, you see today worldwide. I'll just give you my child, it changed for carving. It is a beautiful ride all together, Grace. You did a great job on this. The storytelling is amazing.
Thank you, I moved to Pemberton, B.C. in 1992, and I had moved across Canada from Ontario. So, you know, I was far from home, and I was literally out there living, and that whole scene was real, you know, where they came to film a music video, and I stood on the totem pole as the guitarist played in front of me. So, that was a great day, an excellent day in my life. What did you think, Martha?
I really loved it. I thought it was really full of imagery, and you could just see it all happening, and I thought you did a really great job with it.
Thank you, Martha. I appreciate it. And would you like to read your poem, please, Martha?
Sure. It's not really a poem. It's a song. But
okay.
If I didn't know you, if I didn't know you like I know you, I might walk around feeling the blues. But I know you, and it's so true that I know just what you'll do. You'll say you're leaving, you're on your way, but you will be back the very next day. You say you're leaving me for good, but you come back like I knew you would. I know I can't believe a word you say, but I just stand back and let you have your way. Yeah, baby, you might make me feel sad and blue if I didn't know you like I know you. You try to tell me that we are done. Now you're headed out to have some fun. And I might let you break my heart in two if I didn't know you like I know you. I know I can't believe a word you say, but I just stand back and let you have your way. Yeah, baby, you might make me feel sad and blue if I didn't know you like I know you. Yeah, I have learned a long time ago that you just like to put on a show. But I know your heart belongs to me alone, so I'll be here when you come back home. End poem.
I like that. You did almost sing it as you read it. You had a very lyrical quality to your read.
It's hard to just read it.
Yeah, exactly. It's another reflection of your experience in life, you know, where you really know your lover this well, and his heart belongs to you alone, so that you'll be there when he comes back home. Just a beautiful poem on the subject of love and somebody who's confused and doesn't know what's going on exactly. But I thought it was just an excellent poem, excellent singing as well. And Passions, what did you think?
I agree with you. It was an excellent piece. It was sad because, a lot of people can relate to that song. Having that, you know what's going on type of thing, and you know you're going to let them have their way because you know they're going to do it anyway. So it is what it is. But Martha, you did an exceptional job with this one as well.
Thank you. I just one day was thinking, I do a lot of humming and singing, and I just started singing If I Didn't Know You Like I Know You, and I just wrote the song.
Well, you did a wonderful job with it, Martha. Thank you for sharing
Thank
that.
You.
I appreciate it.
Sure.
And Naomi says she's on the phone line, so I'm going to double just check and see her if I can see her. I can. Hi, Naomi. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
Hey.
I'm going to try to knock off my brains out into your ears.
But no, thank you for calling in. Did you get a chance to hear Martha's poem?
No, not really. I was like on my computer. Sorry, Martha.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay.
I'll read it after.
Absolutely, thank you.
My computer is acting.
Passions, I have your poem up if you don't mind.
Hello.
Oh, okay, hold on. Which one do you have, Gray?
It looks like it says by Jessica D.
Lashed by Jessica D. I tied her down with cords of white-hot memory, her skin blistered, involuntary screams through clenched teeth, tongue bitten, iron on our lips. I demand truth. She smiled, panting yet defiant. She left me no choice, no patience, even less sanity. I reached for the thing that hurt her most, that thing she couldn't hide, the part that shivered and cried in the dark. I dragged out into the light, dropped it at her feet, satisfied with the horror on her face. She cursed me, screamed, threatened the most sick retribution, but she's bound to my chair. Thick, dark oak, the chains that hold her, burn her, her threats don't cow me anymore. I look in her eyes and kick the thing at her feet. It whimpers. She rages at me, so I kick it again. She's unbroken until I put my foot on its neck and press down. She screams, "You kill us." I yell back that I don't care. Still, she refuses me until I bring out the axe. You'll kill us all, Jeff. Am I allowed to say that word?
You can just say F.
F you, Corin. I lift it high in a shaky hand, and she breaks. She lets me in, shows me the knowledge I asked for, then she runs. But as we are all sharing the same body, there's only so far she can run, and now I know how to hurt her like she hurts me. She cost me so much freedom, love, so now the gloves are off, and I don't care about the cost. End poem.
Wow.
Wow, that was an epic poem on fighting with yourself and, you know, the things that, you know, I really liked it. You know, it was incredibly visceral and powerfully penned. And are you Jessica D?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, Jessica D, she's one of the members in the group.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I was going through each member, trying to pull a poem from each member that way. It wasn't just us.
Right. But we need their permission to have it read on air, unfortunately.
I'm sure.
That's okay. But no, that was a hard-hitting poem, introspective and deep. What did you think, Martha?
Well, it was really good. Excellently written, and the message was great, and it was full of emotions and very well done. I really liked it.
Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's, you know, if you know, you know, have to know Jessica to understand all the profoundness that's in the side of this poem and everything that she's went through in life and everything that she's battling right now. I think she brings it out a lot in her poetry. You know, she went through really, really tough time. And, yeah, I don't want to get into the details, but, you know, it really reflects, you know, it's written sincerely from her heart here. And, you know, she just writes in that way that, expresses all the pain and all the anger and all the turmoil that she goes through in life. So just a wonderful right here, Jessica.
Thank you, Naomi. And Passions, would you like to say anything about the piece?
Yes, I would. I feel kind of bad now. I know she told me to read, if I could read one of her pieces, go ahead and read it, but I didn't think. I apologize. But,
that's okay.
Of having conversations with Miss Jessica, I can totally relate to the piece of self-torture, you know, the battle with self. And, I mean, a lot of us can. A lot of us battle with ourselves every day, some more than others. She did so in a very detailed and fearful way, and I think she did a wonderful job in displaying what she intended to. It was hard-hitting.
I agree. Thanks so much. Okay, Naomi, I have your piece up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Just get back to it. Oh, my computer's so slow. Okay, this is... this is from somebody else, too. But he has an open blanketed permission.
So go ahead, then.
Brian Willman. And he wrote this to one of my contests back, and I saved it. I rarely save pieces, but this really touched me because such a small thing. With her bifocals and gray hair in a bun, she would have looked more at home behind a library counter than a cash register. When she placed my change in my hand, she squeezed it a moment and said, "Oh, it's cold." Then she smiled, and I smiled back, and she bid me drive carefully on the icy roads. That smile persisted all the way across the parking lot as I steered the rattling cart with the wobbly wheel towards my car, and grows again as I write this end poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And such a delicate moment in life, you know, that captured his heart and carried with him through his day. And into the days, you know, where he was sitting back reflecting on this, writing this poem on that moment. You know, such a beautiful thing, just a moment of tender care. And, you know, it brightens your whole existence up, literally. I thought it was beautifully penned and excellently read as well. What did you think, Passions?
It's a sweet piece, a sweet gesture of... one that, you know, can leave a smile on your face and continues on through the day. I mean, just a couple of words that out of one's mouth that's genuine and sweet and, you know, tender leads you to have a better outlook for the rest of the day. And this brought a smile to my face. He did a great job with this piece. Beautifully said, beautifully written, beautifully read.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a really good reminder that our actions have consequences and we have no idea how far or how wide they go or how long they last. I thought it was a beautiful reminder to remember the things we do make changes in people. So excellent.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I just love, this was my gold winner. The contest was take something simple and make it into extraordinary. And, you know, he really wrote to that prompt and he really took a simple moment and made it extraordinary throughout that write. and you know, just so sweet and so well written. So I just love that. Right.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, so I'm going to ask you ladies to search for one more poem, if you don't mind, while I read mine. This is called Desert Oasis by Gray Eye Smith. I saw the constellations reflected in the sweet dewdrops as the nectar of your flesh cried out to be tasted. I sipped my way through the hills and valleys of your endless floodplains, where I saw what must have been heaven's gate unfolding from before me. I was ready to die. Take me away like the darkest lake at midnight's hour, drinking in the silver of the moon, refracting as it fades into the bottomless needs of desire. It is there, like a blind man, I touch and feel my way across your burning plains of needs, unfulfilled, until finally I plunge into your desert oasis, sending ripples across your realms of remembrance. The remembrance reflecting as our eyes gaze upon the reflection of everything that was and everything that will be. End poem. What are your thoughts, passions?
It was a beautiful, beautifully painted. You have a way of taking a person on a journey with you. I sipped my way through the hills and valleys of your endless floodplains, where I saw what must have been heaven's gate unfolding before me. Beautiful, beautiful lines right there. And it just takes you on a nice little journey here. The remembrance reflected as our eyes gaze upon the reflection of everything that was and everything that will be. It's breathtaking piece. I enjoyed it. Great job.
Thank you, Passions. I appreciate it. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderful. I love the imagery and the metaphors and the emotion in it. It was just a wonderful journey. I really liked it.
Thank you, Martha. And Naomi?
Just wonderful imagery that brings out so much emotion throughout this poem. You know, from the dewdrops, the nectar, right down to, you know, I plunge into your desert oasis, sending ripples across realms of remembrance, remembrance reflecting as your eyes gaze onto the reflections of everything that was and everything that will be. Just such a wonderful, beautiful right here, Gray. Just bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. I appreciate that. Okay, Passions, would you mind reading your piece, please?
Kaleidoscope of Emotions. A skittle-colored sunrise, explosion of beauty before my eyes, clouds dancing freely, a signature of ink dries before me. Kaleidoscope of emotions swirl, aging, sends a dreamer's mind raging. No sleep for days, leaves a mind unpainted. Brush of an artist is now left tainted. All beauty is ripped from the sky. When ink spilled, the muse no longer gets a rise. Mind tries, eyes hypnotize, no longer fantasize. A dream of a dreamer died. Veils come down and covered the sun. Stars came out to have some fun, counting them one by one till I fall. And final sleep comes to call. Yes, the brush is painting again, painting dreams I held within. A rose within a gentleman's hand, a boat at dock on dry land, a field of lilies with butterfly wings, and a passionate woman erotically sings. Oh, the pleasure that sleep does bring. End poem.
I loved it. That was a great journey.
This is so good.
Yeah, you know, right from the beginning, a skittle-colored sunrise, explosion of beauty before my eyes, clouds dancing freely as signatures of ink dries before me, kaleidoscope of emotions swirl, aging, sends a dreamer's mind raging, no sleep for days, leaves a mind unpainted, brush of an artist is now left tainted. You know, when we don't have the proper sleep, we tend to lose our muse, and you know, I thought you captured that beautifully in this poem, and especially with the ending stanza. Veils come down and covered the sun. Stars come out to have some fun, counting them all one by one till I fall. Comes to call. Yes, the brush is painting again, painting dreams I held within. A rose within a gentleman's hand. A boat docks on dry land. A field of lilies with butterfly wings, and a passionate woman erotically sings. Oh, the pleasure that sleep does bring. Yeah, just a fascinating poem. Excellently read and beautifully written.
Thanks.
What did you think?
Thank
what
you.
Did you think, Martha? You're welcome.
I thought it was really good. I loved the imagery and the colors. It was just a fun read. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, this is beautiful. You know, it's all filled with imagery. I just loved also the skittle colored sunrise. That's just a wonderful, captivating way to pull somebody into a poem. Skittle colored sunrise. Just an awesome, awesome line there. And all throughout, you know, field of lilies with butterfly wings. And a passionate woman erotically sings. There's kind of like a bit of a humor there, you know. And, just amazingly written, you know, all throughout Passions. Just a great write.
Well, thank you, Naomi. You know I had to throw something erotic in there, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Passions. Okay, Martha, you're up next, please.
Okay. This is Just a Wolf. I need to tell you something that's true. What you do with it is up to you. I have been right where you are. We both know love can push you way too far. That guy you're with, he used to be mine. I thought he was the greatest treasure I could find. That was before he broke my heart in two and love left me looking like a fool. He is just a wolf on the prowl, always looking for a new way to howl. Love is just a game he well knows how to play. The truth is something you'll never hear him say. He will never settle on one. He'll have his fill, then he's done. He's just a heartache on the move. To the world, he has much to prove. He is just a wolf on the prowl, always looking for a new way to howl. Love is just a game he well knows how to play. The truth is something you'll never hear him say. I wanted to speak to you before he makes you his fool. He'll be gone without looking back. He is just a wolf, and that's a fact. And poem.
I liked it. It was beautifully done. It was a fantastic read. But, you know, the subject matter of him just being a wolf ready to eat the sheep is, you know, it's hard-hitting and it's beautifully penned. Excellent poem, excellent read as well. What did you think?
Thank you.
You bet.
Well, another hard-hitting poem, Miss Martha, you know how to bring them. And I need to tell you something that's true. What you do with it is up to you. You know, we all kind of try to, not that all men, so don't go at me, Greg, okay? But we know that someone's done us wrong, even if we don't, let's say, we see them with somebody else, and we're not so hateful. We kind of want to say, hey, you know, I've been down this road. You might want to be careful. You know, hey, you know, we're not friends, but look, you know, and we try to save somebody else from going through that heartache. And this depicts that situation very well. You know, you try to tell someone, hey, I've been there. He's, you know, he's on the prowl. That's all he's doing. You know,
use you and leave you type of situation. I think you did it very well in capturing that. You did a wonderful job with it and a wonderful read, Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you, commissions. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I think Passion summed it up really wonderfully there in her comment. I just have to say, you know, this is a great poem to warn people about those bad boys out there. Oh, those bad boys that we're attracted to, well, when we were younger at least. You know, they're always there hunting, hunting for prey. So just a wonderful write all through Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. And Naomi, did you find a poem that you could read?
Yeah, I have one. This is kind of a... I had a scare with breast cancer way back, so this is about that. It's called Outside October. Another sleepless night as quivering strings on an on-tune violin screech inside my head, playing my life back in a mismatch of worn-out socks. From under cold, sweat-soaked sheets, I gaze into fuming fog, silent and monstrous, smells of death swallowing me. My body is a country at war. The captain has hoisted the white flag. The enemy chews me into tiny, sick morsels, spits me out, laughing. My bones ache and sigh, gnawed and brittle. My skin has soured into a poisoned yellow. Clumps of hair cling to my moist hands that swept from my cheeks the thousand pearl drops I have spilled, staring speechless into doctor's eyes, flinging another book, a vase, a cup, smashing against the wall, vomiting bile that scorches my throat. I bite my fingernails as I bleed, shivering as icicles pierce my flesh, floating into millions of frozen splinters while coughing up blood orange sawdust from stars. Oh, asshole. I grab it, wanting to tell my family, my friends, I'm okay. I'll be just fine. But it tumbles into my lap, too weak, too tired to love. Swirling chatter from a news broadcast chases the oxygen from the room. Smothered and dizzy, I curl into myself. Outside October, the world continues to turn. It's not supposed to turn without me. And in those dark stoned hours, I hammer on, struggling to grasp soft specks of inner light to hug and hold on to. But they leap beyond my fingertips as thunderous rumbles of what was, is, and might have been echo throughout my brain, and I hang more shredded pieces scattered along the sinking clothesline. The train is pulling into my final station, but its whistle blows off key. End poem.
Wow.
Well, that was epic.
No.
You know, you can feel the tragic nature to your poem with you enlightening us on the basis of it, though. Really, it makes it hit harder. Just kind of speechless on this poem. But outside October, the world continues to turn. It's not supposed to turn without me. You know, I've had a few times where I've been sick and out of commission for a couple of weeks. And, you know, you're there dying in your room and the world's going on without you. And it's just an affront to life itself, I think, that life goes on living without you. This is a hard-hitting poem, beautifully read. Excellent, right, Naomi? Thank you for sharing. Austin, what did you think?
God, you people don't want me to sleep. I thought we were out of it. I thought we were on a good way here. This poem is intense and powerful read. Did well with the read, Naomi. I'm like Gray. I'm totally speechless with it. I mean, it's sad. It's heartbreaking. It's something that we go through, a war with ourselves, you know, and the night battles of whatever is in our head at the time, and then clumps of hair clinging to my moist hands that swept my cheeks, the thousand cold drops I have spilled, staring speechless into doctor's eyes, pulling another book, a vase, a cup, smashing against the wall, vomiting bile that scorches my throat. You know, anxiety is a torture at times, and you know, it's a totally outstanding piece of poetry. I can't say nothing more, just extraordinary piece here.
Thank you, Passion.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Passion. And Naomi, what are your thoughts? I mean, sorry, and Martha, what are your thoughts?
This is really, really good. It took me back to when we were waiting. My husband was so sick, and we were waiting for the doctors to get back to us and tell us what was going on. And it brings out all the emotions and expresses so well how it feels to go through something like that. And I'm just thankful her ending was a lot different than ours was. It was a beautiful poem.
Thank you, Martha.
Great comment, Martha. Thank you. And would you like to say anything else about your poem, Martha?
Naomi?
Sorry, Naomi.
Yeah, well, I had a scare with breast cancer. But I also saw friends, you know, going through chemo and, you know, and living through this. So, you know, that it came from that, the inspiration for the poem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's heart wrenching and I'm glad you made it through. Okay. Much love, everybody. Thank you for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time.
Thanks, Greg. You have a good night.
Thanks,
good night, everybody.
Greg.
Bye,
good
y'all.
Night.
Love you, lady.
Good night.
Good night.